To you all, my name is Dan, and we have the joy of looking at God's Word together. Now, what a great privilege it is to spend time in Ephesians chapter 4 in particular. Thank you, Lyndon, for reading, and in a way, I can just get us to stop and reflect on that wonderful part of Scripture in your own meditative thought and reflection right now. It speaks for itself, and that's what we want to have happen in all of our church activities, for God to speak, and particularly through His Word. We heard a couple of weeks ago in regards to exposition that we as Stromlo Church want, as one of our pillars for all of our gatherings, to be people who gather around God's Word. We've heard actually a lot of good rationale for serving, and we've heard a lot of some testimonies, and I've just been so immensely encouraged already as we've been thinking about this topic of being equipped and being equipped to serve. But I think we shouldn't just have this without, again, coming back to God's Word, right? We need to examine, is this really what God's saying? Is this really the agenda of God Himself and the Scriptures? Or is this something that we've just made up because it's a bit of a hobby horse for us as a church? So we should do that with all of our activities, shouldn't we? Keep coming and looking at the light of Scripture and having that as the paradigm for what we do and how we do things. Now, let me also say that I love being amongst you guys. I really genuinely love this church, being Sky and I and the family being here for a little over 2 years. It's just been such a great joy to be here growing in relationship with you, serving alongside you, being partners for the gospel here. This is one of my favorite things of the week, though church isn't just Sunday, but sharing lives together, as Julianne shared also, that throughout midweek life groups and other activities, we get to share lives and support one another, encourage one another. As some of you know, I've had some ongoing health issues, and just the way in which I get to openly without shame, really, just to share my struggles with you, and knowing that you accept me, you welcome me, and you care for me and for my family, and please, let's keep doing that as a church community. I also wanted to say, not only do I love this church and being part of it myself, I'm so immensely encouraged by the way in which so many of you already serve in so many ways. There is a great team of people up there with all of our children. We just are blessed with so many children. And it thrills my heart, and I'm sure it just brings great joy to our Heavenly Father as well, knowing how many of you tirelessly serve, and many of you behind the scenes that you wouldn't even know about that are here early, for instance, or throughout the week running our playgroup ministry, junior jivers, and different life groups and different activities. You guys are awesome in the way that you serve, and so committed to seeing the gospel go forward. I'm thrilled with the future for our church as well. We're in an exciting time in the life of our church. Being in this valley where homes are popping up every couple of minutes and people are moving into the valley, it's a vibrant and exciting time, isn't it, to be part of not only Stromlo Church but also what God's doing in Canberra. And so if we are to keep moving forward, particularly in our vision and what we're aiming for in 2020 of being a church that has this 1-3-1 vision, I don't know if you remember or you've caught this vision yet, to have 100% engagement with our local community here, that's the first one, the three, to try and grow this church to 300 adults by 2020. And with that we also mean that if adults are coming, families are coming, children are coming, we get to see youth connected with the gospel, and the other one, so 1-3-1, being people that are engaged in our life groups there, 100% of our regulars, if you consider yourself a regular of our church, being part of a small group, and not classically, it doesn't have to be a formalized life group as such, but being people who gather around in smaller groups, keeping each other accountable, gathering around God's Word. I'm genuinely excited for that. However, if we're to reach this 2020 goal, and then we'll have other goals, say 2025 as we move on, we need to be people who are firstly burdened by the gospel itself. And secondly, as we're burdened by the gospel, that we're eager to be equipped. And as we're eager to be equipped, we're eager to serve. Well, friends, we are better together, aren't we? We are more effective together. God can use us in incredible ways. If it's not just the paid staff that are doing things, but we as a community, a Christ-centered community, are making disciples here in Molonglo and beyond. Now, I know Lyndon's already prayed, but I want to pray again, just in the light of that vision, in the light of who we are, now as we come to Ephesians chapter 4 and examine what it has to say. Now, let's pray again. Father, we do thank you for the excitement of being part of this phase for this season for our church. Thank you also for the many people who give of their time and their energy, who use the resources and the gifts that you've already given them to see your kingdom grow through Stromlo. And we rejoice in the way in which you are using many people shoulder to shoulder for the ministry of the gospel here. But Lord, we look to the future and we look to the needs now. And so Lord, we pray that as we think about them and we come to your word, Father, we might be obedient to it and we might see what it has to say to us specifically this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, you might have a good memory. I don't really, even if I'm preaching, I don't always remember even what was preached last Sunday, let alone a year ago or so. But if you have a good memory, you would have remembered that Dave McDonald preached on this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 last year as we went through Ephesians at the beginning of last year. And I encourage you to actually go back and listen to that sermon. It's a fantastic call to who we are as a church. Now, I'm going to build on some of that, if you can remember. I'm going to remind us through Ephesians 4 what the scriptures are saying here. But also give us some more concrete application as to where we are right now. If you look back or you remember that sermon, Dave actually challenged us as to who we are as a church. Are we a museum? Are we people that come along and we look back to the past and we think, oh, those were the glory days. We've only been around for 7.5 years, but we can still look back to the glory days. Remember when? We were, well, not like now when it's awkward or difficult, or remember when we did those things so much better, or even just so caught up in, I wish we sang older hymns, or I wish we did things like in the past. We can be like that. He also challenged us, are we like people who are a movie theatre? Are we coming along and we're other people up the front and they're doing things to entertain us and we enjoy sitting back and watching what's happening up the front where others do things for us? His third challenge was, are we people that consider church to be like a supermarket? And we go in and we take the things we need and we leave the things we don't need. And it's just about pleasing me and we're picking and choosing. And sometimes we maybe complain a little bit about how the items that we've purchased aren't really doing it for me. And we want to go and shop somewhere else. He also challenged us, are we like a sports club? Are we people who come along and we want our kids to be involved in something? And as we come along, we sort of do our bit. I know the rugby club that my boys have been a part of, that you must go and serve on the barbecue there every, 3 weeks or something as part of your service to that club. I know some schools, if you want to reduce the fees, you go and as parents, you go and contribute so that you can pay less. And sometimes it's so easy, isn't it? We do our little bit and that sort of eases our conscience and that's how we treat our church. Others, Dave challenged us that we might be like Parliament. We like to have our say. We like to raise higher in the hierarchy of the church politics. And this is a chance for us to do that because we can't maybe do it in our workplace. We also might be like the 12 Steps program or Weight Watchers, where we come for self-improvement and we come so to make ourselves progress a little bit further in elements of life. He also said we might also be like a TAFE. We come to get educated. We come to learn more and maybe get some hands-on skills as well. One that I might want to add to that is sometimes we can see ourselves a bit like a service station. We come to refuel, recharge, re-energize so that then we can go out into the rest of the week. Now, some of these things are really good things, aren't they? I want to say, let's consider church in some of these ways. But in their own, I don't think they're the biblical view of our gatherings, of how we function. We've said in our mission statement that we want to be Christ-centered community. We want people and all of us to come on a Sunday, to come to our gatherings throughout the week and encounter the Lord Jesus. Friends, how do you consider church? What's your thinking about how church should be? Well, let's look here again at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, we have this wonderful description of Paul being called to a life through the gospel. Let's read it as verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life or walk according to the calling that you have received. Be completely humble. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What a wonderful picture there, isn't it? Of this God-centered unity that is created through the gospel. People who are patient with one another, who are bearing with one another, who are working for unity. People who know that they've been called. People who realize that God is central in all of this. And then he goes on and he talks about the wonderful grace that we have received. Grace that is apportioned through Christ. Now, if you're familiar with Ephesians, we shouldn't just pick a passage out of context, should we? Do a little bit of a word study on this word, grace. It's a wonderful theme throughout this book. Here, the idea that God has undeservedly saved us and rescued us. Ephesians chapter 2 is one of my favorite sections of scripture where we were dead in our sins, but God, through his grace, saved us. We did not deserve the work of Christ in rescuing us from darkness and death and bringing us back to life. Here, grace is so rich, it's so undeserved, it's so glorious. And it talks about a grace that is the benefit is in the future of our future salvation. We don't need to do anything to be saved. It's undeserved. And now we come to verse 7 of chapter 4. And he talks now about a grace that has implications for the now, not just the future, not just for our past as we were saved, but for the now. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace has been given. He is an image of Christ. He's lavishly handing out wonderful gifts to his people. And we get to experience these gifts now. Verse 8 goes on to say, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave good gifts, gifts to his people. He is an image of a victorious king. He's conquered all in his death and his resurrection as he descended into hell, and now he's ascended to gloriously reign. He's distributing gifts. Now, it's easy for us to sort of think as he apportions gifts that, well, some gets a little bit, some get a bit more, and others, they get a huge amount, and there's different quantities here. But I don't think that's the idea here. The idea here is of a king who's got this bounty of conquering his enemies, and the gifts here are just abundantly being provided. They just are outflowing. In Ephesians chapter 1 is this idea of lavish grace. And I've used this illustration before and I love it. It's like standing under a chocolate fountain. It's just lavishly coming all over the place. Here, it's going everywhere, God's good gifts through Jesus. Grace in the past as he saved us, grace in the future, but now grace as a church, as the body. And friends, I want to labour this point because this should be the very foundation for any of our serving. As we are people who care, who sacrifice, who give, who put time and resources into our church community, it should be all because of grace. Well, what are these gifts? So Christ has given gifts, and for those of you that have been part of this church, hopefully you've heard this before. We go to verse, let's jump to verse 11. So Christ himself, he gives the gifts. He gave, what are the gifts? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Now, this should strike us a little bit, I reckon. Because we often think classically gifts as being maybe physical prosperity or doing really well in things of life. Or we think of gifts as spiritual gifts. The gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, these are certainly biblical gifts and gifts of the Spirit. But here we're being told that the gifts are people, aren't they? Did you know that your pastors are a gift to you? Now, I'm not trying to big note myself by any means, but I'm a gift to you. Paul's a gift to you. The ministry team, they are a gift to God's people. Here we see, I believe, the apostles as being once off. The prophets, well, it's likely to be people that are talked about in the Old Testament, but prophecy is speaking the words of God. The evangelists here proclaiming the gospel. I don't believe they're a one-off. And here the fifth group, it's likely to be one category, the pastor teacher. The pastor teacher. It's not the pastors and the teachers separately. Friends, did you know how these are all connected? Have you picked up what makes these all so common? Anyone? They speak the word, don't they? There's people who bring the gospel and the word of God to his people. Why are they gifts to you? Well, they're gifts to you simply because they're mouthpieces of this treasured possession, God's word and the joy of the gospel. That's the gift. But what is the purpose of this gift? Why on earth would God give that gift? Well, verse 12 is the key passage, and we can spend a lot of time on this. But here it is. The gifts are given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me read that again because it's a key passage here. The gifts are given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Notice here, he's not saying that the apostles and teachers, your pastors, are the gifted ones so that they can do the works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. Doesn't say that, does it? We I think, subconsciously get it the wrong way around. The pastors are the gifted ones. Let them do the works of service. No, the pastors, the teachers, are using the word of God to equip who? His people. I think all people. For works of service. And this is a wonderful dynamic, I think. Verse 16, jump with me to that. It is the image of the body. And it says, for him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows and builds itself in love, so that each part does its work. As each part does its work, every single component, that's all of us here today, has a part to play. We all have an important part to play. Now, I'd like to say, well, I think the pastors should be doing three main tasks. Well, one of them is being a person of the word, in the word. The second one is as a man of prayer, a person of prayer. And the third one, person who's equipping. Word, prayer, and equipping. But I wonder, question, is that really what's happening? As I examine my week and I audit how I use my time, or even if I think about the role that the church plays, the body of Christ plays, how much of my time is being freed up to be able to do these three main things? I'd like to say, well, it doesn't always work that way. I'd love to be able to be better at using this word, be better at prayer, be better at equipping you, God's people. I'd love it if there was more people in theory knocking on the door of our church office and saying, hey, pastors, staff, I want to free you up so you can do more of these things. Let me take on some of these administrative tasks. So it's easier to step back and say, hey, we actually have five people on our payroll. I give my taxes on a Sunday. They do the ministry. Friends, here is things the wrong way around, isn't it? See, it's God's people. It's the whole body. It's me with you working so that the body of Christ is built up. Now, we have already heard about the importance of being willing to serve. I think it was Grunch there who has an attitude of he wants to serve. It's one thing to say, hey, guys, this is how we should operate, but we need to stop and examine our hearts, because I do actually think this is something of discipleship. I can physically equip you to be able to put out the chairs on a Sunday morning, but, you know, what's going on in your heart? You can be physically equipped to be able to fill up the coffee urn, but if you're maybe going and filling up the coffee urn with a heart that is grumbling and saying, I don't really want to do this, or there's some sort of resentment there, I think discipleship is key in this being equipped. And we can be a disciple and equipped in all sorts of ways. Meeting one-on-one with others, gathering around God's word in life groups, or deliberate equipping in training and opportunities of how to share the gospel, teach others. So my question for us is, how's our hearts going? They're being willing to serve. See, in Ephesians 4, verse 2, there's an attitude of being completely humble, isn't it? See, if you're proud and you say, hey, I've got it all sorted, you don't need to teach me any new tricks. We can't be ready to serve. We've got to be humble. Humble and willing to bear with one another in love. See, serving on a ministry team, well, some people are going to rub us up the wrong way, aren't they? You think, I just don't like working with them. But we're called to bear with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. What's our heart like? Now, I do need to acknowledge that much of our church is in a stage of life where we have young children. And life is crazy at that time. We're not getting much sleep, and there's just, we feel maxed out. We're just clinging on in life. But my experience as my kids are getting older is that it doesn't change a whole lot more. And there's always things that we can be filling our lives with. We have opportunities all around us. And one of the things we'd love to be doing, the lead up to Easter, is doing some letterbox dropping here. Last year, I got the opportunity to go with my son Joel, and we did some door knocking and letterbox dropping. And even though I might have been in a busy stage of life, is what I'm saying, there's ways in which we can empower our children. I was encouraged to hear Jen talking about children serving as well, doing things with them, even in the craziness of life. I wonder also, how available are we making ourselves? And I'm not trying to just bring a guilt trip here. I want the gospel to go forward. Our lives are so maxed out that we haven't taken the time to be, was it Plato that said the unexamined life? You know, we need to examine our life. Think about prayerfully how in which we can serve. Now, do fill out those forms. Yes, we want people to be part of teams, but let's be prayerful about that as well. Let's audit. I mean, I'd love to see some more people say, hey, I'm actually going to take a pay cut. I'm going to work one day less a week. I'm going to use up, well, half a day a week to maybe meet with someone one-on-one, to work at discipling those around me, to come and free some of the other staff up. You see, again, if we're going to reach 100% of this community, we need to be mobilizing our time to be able to do that. I wonder also what's going on, and I, again, don't want to be harsh in this, but for a little while, this is just an arbitrary example, for a little while we're advertising for someone to have come do 1 hour a week, 1 hour a month, I should say, 1 hour a month of gardening at the hub, just to make sure the hub area was good and safe for the little children to play in. We couldn't get anybody. We couldn't get anybody for 1 hour a month. What's going on? Friends, we need to take time to maybe audit our lives. How are we being equipped? And how are we being willing in our heart attitude to serve? You see, the idea here, some of you might have a different translation, verse 12, being equipped to do works of ministry is sometimes translated, but it's service is much better, I think. Because the idea here is one of just everyday serving. Just coalface, grassroots, sacrificial serving others. It can just be making someone a cup of tea, visiting someone in hospital, going and sitting by someone who's going through some sort of trauma in their life. It's not rocket science, and it's sometimes we can say ministry, that's for the elite. I'm just not equipped for that. But here, as we saw in verse 16, every part of the body has a role to play. We've been given gifts. How are we going to use the gifts? How are we going to free up the gifts so that we can be people who are serving together? Back in Hong Kong at St. Andrew's, there was an example of people that needed to be on a roster to clean the church hall. Each life group was rostered on once a week to clean the church hall. They discovered that their lives were actually a little bit too full for doing that. And they're thinking, how are we going to do it? Well, actually, a better use or a more economical way to achieve this outcome is so that we pull some money together and we pay for a cleaner. And it works brilliantly. They didn't have to turn up to do that and clean. The cleaners did a fantastic job. But you know what? I don't think that's a biblical model at all. Some of these people thought that cleaning was a bit below them. I don't think it should be below any of us. We're to be humble. We're to bear with one another. We're to be people who shoulder to shoulder together work for the gospel. See, as Paul pointed out earlier, there is such great joy in serving. There is great fellowship in serving. There is ways in which we can benefit the whole body, for we are better together. And I think also what we miss in that sort of thing is the whole point of that the apostle makes here in building one another up into maturity. Now this dovetails beautifully, literally, with last week as we heard about the importance and the burden of seeing every single one of us make it to the finish line. Now to encourage you, if you didn't hear last week's sermon, go and have a listen to it. See, the burden is reflected here also in the apostle Paul. What does he say? Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then he goes on, verse 14, no longer being infants, being tossed, being deceived by the craftiness of people's scheming, instead speaking the truth in love. And here it is again, the idea of maturity. We will grow to become in every respect mature, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Why do we want to do this? We don't want to do this so that Stromlo is just such an awesome every member ministry church where everyone's serving just so that we can say we are the best. No, the desire, as we were motivated last week, is that we can be found mature. And it's not individual maturity, is it? It's not, hey, man, I'm so mature. No, it's us. So that we make it together to the finish line, that we are not persuaded or blown and tossed by every wind of teaching. Friends, that we are people who are mature in Christ. Why do we serve? We serve for this very reason. Let me also look at an important cross-reference that Paul already read for us in 1 Peter 4. So we serve, and it'll come up on the screen, we serve so that we can be found mature, but we also serve so that God can be glorified. Let's have a look at that, if you've got that there. Or you can turn to 1 Peter 4 and chapter 10. If you've got your Bibles, that's even better. Let me read it as it's coming up. 1 Peter 4. So two key motivations here. One is so that we can be found mature. And the second one, okay, verse 10. So each of you should use whatever gift you have, saying that every single one of us has a gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In verse 11, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What's the motivation? Well, the motivation is that Christ himself will be praised so that he receives the glory and the power forever and ever. Friends, our mission, our vision for us as a church is to be a Christ-centered community. We serve. We allow ourselves to be equipped. We see ourselves active in this church so that Christ may be glorified. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we going? How are we going at this? How are you going? In 2020, we want to see 100% of regulars in life groups, 300 adults attending our congregation, and 100% of the Molonglo Valley engaged. How are we going if we need to be equipped? See, I want you to be equipped to take opportunities to be gathering around God's word and getting some of the hard skills to be able to reach this vision. And friends, we're in this together, aren't we? We are better together. We are more effective together. I hope you've seen the rationale for this. I hope you see the crucial role that you can play, no matter who you are, young or old. We can all have a role to play. But ultimately, again, it is all about the wonderful Lord Jesus and the grace that he has given. We want to be a Christ-centered community. We want to attain to the full measure, so back in Ephesians 4, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of, I don't know, Stromlo Church? No. The fullness of who? The fullness of Christ. Of his body. Verse 15, to become mature in every aspect, every respect of the body of whom he, the head, is Christ. That's my prayer. That's our prayer, that we will be a people who are so passionate about placing Christ at the centre. Let me pray, and then I want to finish reading again those verses from Ephesians chapter 12 and 13.